You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, we have spoken to a civil servant before on our sight loss story feature, but how do you manage being a civil servant, having sight loss, and being a parent at the same time? Joining me now to tell us all about how exactly that is done is Louise Wright. First of all, then, let's start with, can you tell us a little bit about your sight condition and kind of your early days of sight loss?
I was born with cataracts in both eyes, which they attempted to remove when I was a baby, and which they couldn't remove. So I spent the first 7 years of my life with partial sight, so I could see reasonably well to get about, and I could read reasonably sized print. And then I lost my sight when I was seven, when I developed glaucoma. And I spent about a year in and out of hospital, very poorly indeed, actually. Sometimes I was going under anaesthetic twice a week in order to try and monitor and stabilise the condition. As I was getting better, my parents were starting to sort of think ahead, and I think they must have been having a conversation with the nurses in the outpatient clinic at Alder Hey up in Liverpool, which is where, I mean, I'm from Lancashire, so... and the nurses said, well, there's a school for visually impaired people just down the road. So my parents sort of whizzed straight round there in the car. They didn't make an appointment. They just turned up. And the sisters at St. Vincent's gave them a very warm welcome. They didn't send them away to make an appointment. It was agreed that I would start at St. Vincent's. And so my adaption goes alongside adapting to actually having to live away from my family and become a weekly boarder, which... to be honest, feels like a bigger life change than actually losing my sight, which might seem quite strange to some people. But the support that I got at St. Vincent's, you know, they taught me Braille, they taught me mobility skills, they gave me a really nurturing environment. And it was there that I got the opportunity to learn the flute, which I still play today, and which I do wonder if I would have ever done had I not gone there. Eventually, I was sent to Chorley Wood down in Hertfordshire, because rather shockingly in those days, if you were academically able and you wanted to study GCSEs or O-levels, and you didn't have any sight, then Chorley Wood or Worcester for the boys was literally the only school that you could go to. So my parents took the brave decision to send me over 200 miles away from home, at which point I was down to coming home every three to six weeks rather than every week. They did that, and I was brave enough to go along with it.
That sounds like quite a journey. Now, you've talked about adapting to life with sight loss throughout boarding school, but outside of that, what else helped you to adapt to life with sight loss as your sight was getting much worse?
So I used basic things like magnifiers as my sight was getting worse. I mean, I was only a child, so in that sense, and it was quite sudden, actually. I don't remember my sight getting worse. One day it was there. The next day I was complaining about extreme light sensitivity. By the end of the weekend, I'd spent the weekend basically in my parents' bed in the dark. Monday morning, I was taken down to the hospital. And by Monday afternoon, I was in hospital. And that was it. In terms of adapting in that sense, there wasn't really much adapting to be done. It was very much, you know, going from one thing to the next. What I would say is I think the most valuable things for me in terms of dealing with sight loss at Chorley Wood, you were taught to be extremely independent. I mean, I was doing my own washing from the age of 12. You know, we were given mobility skills. We were taught to go out into the village, out into Rickmansworth. You know, we were made very independent. So there was no question of not being so. I was taught Braille, and I know that many, many people don't use Braille. I don't know how they do that. I think Braille is supremely important. I still make Braille notes. I have a Braille display in front of me on my computer. I use Braille music. It's fundamental to my life. I have a guide dog, or I would like to have a guide dog. I'm actually on the very long guide dog waiting list at the moment, which is extremely upsetting. And that is impacting a big chunk of my life at the moment, but I've had a guide dog since I was at university, and it's made a, you know, basically means that I feel like I can go anywhere, really.
How do you manage a career of a civil servant and sight loss? How does sight loss impact your career, and how do you work around the various issues you may be facing at times?
I consider myself as very lucky to be in the civil service. In terms of diversity and inclusion, the civil service is incredibly strong. It's a very large organisation and has the resources behind it and the will, if you like, to really try and be a diverse and inclusive employer. The biggest piece of advice I'd give to anybody actually in an employment setting is you ideally need to be really honest and really make sure there's an ongoing dialogue about what you need as an employee. And there are a variety of settings in which you can do that. So one is the sort of standard occupational health reasonable adjustment route, which gets you your really big adaptions like jaws and braille displays and any large magnifiers and things that you need, so things that cost money. And then there's the how people work, which is just as important actually, because having jaws is one thing, but if people routinely create inaccessible documentation, which you are then expected to deal with, there's only so far that jaws can take you. If a person could imagine basically having a sheet of paper in front of them, you know, full of writing, they had a blank sheet of paper on top with a window cut out of it that was just a line long, and basically they had to move that down every time they wanted to read the next line. That's what reading jaws is like. And if you want to read an Excel spreadsheet, basically you can imagine that actually being only a character wide. And if you're reading a PowerPoint, then actually the window would be so tiny that you could barely see anything.
You are also a parent. Now, how do you juggle these three things? What are your tips? What tips and tricks have you got?
Creating your own support network is really important. So, you know, doing your sort of pregnancy, you know, NCT classes or whatever it is, getting out when you've got the baby as early as you can and making friends that you can then use to develop your support network is really important. I used a baby carrier that I used to strap to my front, which I think many people do. And I got my kids to walk at a very early age. So get your support network and find the sort of practical solutions that work for you. When my kids were starting to read, that was really difficult because then you're expected as a parent to sort of sit down and help them with their reading books and do things like that. I was incredibly lucky because I was still in touch with one of my old teachers, and she actually took these phonics books and she put braille on them all. And I'm so grateful to her for doing that because it meant that I could sit down with my child and actually go through those books with her and help her learn to read.
Tricky as it may be, what would be your number one bit of advice for people new to sight loss?
Your sight loss actually will stop you doing very little. There are very few things that you cannot do as a result of having sight loss. Be really ambitious for yourself. Don't let your sight loss take away your dreams and stop you doing the things that you want to do. Because with the right support networks and the right, you know, the right equipment and the right people around you, you can achieve the vast majority of what you want to achieve. Try and be outward looking and really take control of your own destiny. Don't lose that sense of self that you have by looking inward and really seeing your lack of vision as the obvious, really big thing that it is. Don't let the lack of vision for the outside world cause you to have a lack of vision for yourself and your ambitions and your potential in life, because those two visions are two very different things.
What a great piece of advice. I absolutely love that, and a great message to end on to Louise Wright. Thank you very much for coming on and sharing your sight loss story with us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.